We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Steve, great to have you with us. And Browns with a Baker Mayfield. You know, last week we were starting to lose. I know you've been a big Baker guy, and you and a couple other people that were Baker guys kind of, us included, were like, I don't know this guy in the Pittsburgh game, but wow, he bounced back and had maybe his best game. Where does his game against Cincinnati grade out for you all time for him?
Yeah, he sucked me back in last week. We were calling for Case Keenum and looking at what was going to happen, but it was the highest grade we've actually ever given him in a game, and that the Pittsburgh game was the lowest we've ever given him. So back-to-back weeks hitting both extremes, obviously he was after the interception and a couple of incompletions early, you know, he settled in. I still have some concerns. It is just one game, but his aggressiveness down the field and some of those special throws that he made down the stretch were just fantastic. So definitely great to see Baker bounce back in that one last week.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you look at just a game like in Cincinnati and say, is he back? Like, how do we know he's going to be able to do that, you know, throughout the rest of this season? I mean, is it one of those things where, you know, it looks like his confidence is back? Could he be back on track? I just think it's too small of a sample size, and I do want to ask you about the loss of Odell and how much you think that factored in, if any at all.
Yeah, so first with Baker, it absolutely is a small sample size, and then there's also, like, the how he did it. So you've got the week before, my complaint was, hey, he's not playing within structure, and he's vacating clean pockets and all that stuff. Against the Bengals, he at least, you know, played within structure. He took what was there, which was fantastic. But at the same time, what was there was generally open. So, you know, against the Bengals, his first reads were there. You know, he had open receivers. He didn't have to come off his first read or scramble early or anything like that. So that part was good. The other thing that I find fascinating is the way he throws the ball down the field. I mean, he is trying to throw every ball 100 miles an hour. So he's throwing outside vertical routes instead of putting touch on him. He's just, you know, almost treating him like a seam route where you're zipping it in there and letting your receiver go up and get it. From a sustainability standpoint, I feel like that's a little difficult for some of those chunk plays that he's been creating. So don't want to take anything away from him. They were great throws, but just an interesting way of doing it. I think with the Odell thing, if there's a type of system that I think can handle the loss, I know this is the popular story all this week. Oh, he's played better. Baker's played better without OBJ. And that's true. It doesn't take away from OBJ's talent, but if there's a system that I think can handle it, it's what Stefanski's running here. You know, once a week they're going to sneak the tight end up the backside seam. Last week they did it with Rashard Higgins. You know, they scheme up so many open throws in this system that I think you can still produce even without a true number one wide receiver. And perhaps, you know, my thought on Deshaun Watson coming into the season, maybe this will help him spread the ball around when he doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins. I think there's an element to that with Baker, the ability to spread the ball around, play within the system, and not have to focus on having that true number one out there.
I hear what you're saying, Steve. I just got to see it more. I mean, everybody jumped on that bandwagon after this one game. You know, and people point to kind of some basic stats of, like, his QBR is not as good with, you know, when he throws to Odell as opposed to other guys. But Odell's getting better coverage than other guys. So those stats, to me, seem kind of meaningless. I got to see him play well. If he plays at a high level without Odell for the rest of the season, then it's going to mean something, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, there's, you'd never want to take good players away.
Right.
But, you know, like, Matthew Stafford played a little bit better when Calvin Johnson disappeared. And it's just, I think sometimes quarterbacks do tend to rely on their top players a little bit too much. Even Tom Brady had points in his career where he's like, I only trust Gronk. I don't trust everyone else. I'm going to force the ball to him. So there are times when quarterbacks, you can make them spread the ball around. And I don't buy into the small sample size of look at these stats with and without, even, you know, right, including his rookie season. But it will be fascinating to watch and see what happens here with Baker's development.
All right, let's talk about this Raiders team. Derek Carr on the road coming here. It's supposed to be windy on Sunday, maybe some rain. How much of a factor is that in terms of looking at this Raiders team overall?
Yeah, I think it's a factor. They like to run the ball. They like to have Josh Jacobs and the big offensive line as a big part of the game. But you know, the Raiders are good when they are able to throw the ball down the field. And Derek Carr is ultimately a very conservative quarterback who's capable of making those downfield throws. And I think they've done a pretty good job with when Henry Ruggs is in the lineup and healthy. They've done a good job of scheming open plays down the field, whether it's for him or for Nelson Aguilar. They are getting Carr to throw the ball down the field just a bit more, and that's really opened up their offense. So that's the thing to keep an eye on is, you know, sometimes it's too, you know, Carr will only play within the game plan when it comes to throwing those deep shots, but he's had games like the Kansas City game. He threw for over 200 yards on just 20-plus yard passes. So if you get that type of Derek Carr, an aggressive one, they're tough because they'll put some points on the board. The good news for the Browns is the Raiders aren't stopping anybody either. As much as all year we've talked about the Browns back seven, and that's the key to the year, that's exactly what the Raiders are dealing with right now. They can't cover anybody, and we saw that last week against the Bucs when they got smoked.
Steve, Josh Jacobs is averaging about 1.5 less yards per attempt this year. But when you look at the advanced analytics on him, is he playing worse this year?
No, every week I'll talk about, you know, the running backs being dependent on what's happening in front of them, and the
sure.
Raiders have been just okay from a run blocking standpoint. So, you know, yards per carry and all that stuff will fluctuate just a little bit. I mean, we have Jacobs down a little bit. He's for us grading around 70, which is solid, not nearly as good as he was last year, but and he's not creating he's creating similar after contact, but in forcing missed tackles, he's just getting a lot less space before contact from all the run blocking it with the Raiders right now.
How would you rate Rashard Higgins, who's now going to have to step up and be the number two receiver for Cleveland?
I mean, I think when if you're putting a team together, I think he's a good number three. You know what, pretty much what he's been. He always my podcast partner Sam Monson absolutely loved Higgins coming out, so it's one of our jokes. Mm-hmm. Every time Higgins makes a great catch, he's texting me, and you know he's all excited. he's a good route runner. We saw some of the plays he was able to make last week. I think he's good. He's a good number three who, you know, in this system, I think can put up number two type of numbers. I've always thought that he was a little bit underused because I do like him as a route runner. I think he could do a little bit after the catch. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities to do that throughout his career. He was an explosive threat at Colorado State. He was one of those guys who ran a 4.6. But played fast on the field and always created big plays at Colorado State. So I'm fascinated to see what Higgins can do. I've been intrigued by him for a few years now, and I think he'll succeed in this role.
I know he made the PFF team of the week, as did Harrison Bryant, the Browns tight end, who had a couple of touchdowns. How high is his upside going forward? You know, I know they obviously have Austin Hooper, so maybe it's in terms of his statistics are somewhat limited right now. But in the long term, what's his ceiling?
Yeah, Bryant was, I mean, he was good. We talked about it last week. I didn't think that the Hooper loss was going to be a big deal just because of how the scheme plays out. And I thought they did a nice job getting Bryant open. He had the two touchdowns, and he had the highest receiving grade among tight ends in the nation last year at Florida Atlantic. What was telling is how they used him out there, you know, using him as a wide receiver, as a slot receiver, moving him around the formation. So they trusted his receiving ability. I think the Browns have tapped into that just a little bit. It's one of those system that involves multiple tight ends but does a nice job of just getting them into space and helping them put up numbers. So I expect Bryant to continue to produce as long as Hooper's out.
Do you see any improvement in the Browns' back end, secondary, linebackers?
It's kind of week to week. You know, I think that's just the nature of the NFL. I think the linebackers have been a little bit better than expected this year, for sure. And the expectation was that they were the 31st ranked group coming into the year. That's where I had them. But you know, B.J. Goodson's played all right. They played okay. I think having Denzel Ward back there is a nice foundation. And then it just takes, okay, let's figure out how between the other six guys we can stop opposing offenses. The tough part, about coverage is you can find weak links. So when you have weak links, offenses can find them pretty easily. So it's nice to have a Denzel Ward. They still need better depth. You know, again, very much dependent on who you play week to week, because it's just so tough to play defense in today's NFL.
Steve, what quarterback is the number one rank, or where does Baker rank in PFF rankings overall for the season, and who is the number one PFF quarterback through 7 weeks?
So right now we have Baker at number 27. He moved up from 31st. It's kind of, you know, when you get into, I don't know, 15 to 30 or so, it's actually pretty tight. It's not that big of a difference as far as grading goes. But yeah, he got off to such that, you know, that slow start with, and then the Steelers game really crushed him. Number one right now is Russell Wilson, though. Wilson and Aaron Rodgers were really playing at a completely different level for about 4 weeks, but Rodgers dropped off a little bit with that Tampa Bay game. Wilson, despite the interceptions against Arizona, really played a great game, other than really two or three passes in that one. So, yeah, Wilson's been the top-graded guy so far this season.
Steve,
hey, when you look at this,
go ahead, Dustin.
Oh, go ahead, Bo. I was just going to ask you, not Browns-related, but the Steelers-Ravens game this weekend. I mean, this game looks so damn good on paper. I mean, both teams are tremendous, got really good defenses. How do you see that matchup going?
Yeah, it's such a good one. I was looking at it from a Steelers perspective the other day. If they get by, they've got three more games that they can win right after this. They might be 10-0 going into the next Ravens matchup. Wow. I think the Steelers front, though, is one of the stories of the season, just how good their defensive line and linebackers have been, even without Devin Bush. So that defensive front going up against the Ravens, who love to run the ball, I really think the Ravens just haven't been the same team as last year. But I think this is the week they have to put the ball in Lamar's hands just a little bit more. You might see 10 to 15 carries from him, designed run game, not try to go man up, you know, man to man against the Steelers up front from a run blocking standpoint. So I think the Steelers look good on paper as far as the matchup goes, but I think it's going to come down to Lamar being a superstar again from a run game perspective and then hitting some downfield throws. I like the Ravens to win, but there's a lot on paper that makes me want to lean Steelers in this one.
Be interesting to see how much action Dobbins gets with Ingram probably not playing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Mark Ingram fantasy owner, and, you know, all I hear is fantasy owners complaining about the Ravens' backfield. That's been the truth this year. It's one of those, it's like the Patriots. You don't know who's getting the carries, and even then they haven't been nearly as productive. But, you know, they do have to kind of get back on track to running the ball a little bit more efficiently than they have been this year. And Dobbins, he is dynamic with the ball in his hands for sure.
Steve, will T. Higgins be a top 25 quarterback, wide receiver next year?
Top 25, I don't know if he'll be that good, but I really like what he's been doing, man. I like the combo with Joe Burrow. I like I like Cincinnati's ability to just spread the ball around to multiple playmakers. So yeah, it's, you know, maybe not top 25, but he'll be, you know, a high end number two type of option, I'd say.
Steve, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
You
as
got
always.
It. Thanks, guys. Yeah, appreciate
Steve
it.
Steve Palazzolo does a great job from Pro Football Focus.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.